We're in a series called Pictures, and I hope that you'll just take a few moments right now, and get, if you're going to take notes, get that ready, but hang with us because I'm going to give you some insight today that's going to help you right where you're at. And maybe you know somebody that needs some encouragement. Maybe they feel alone. Maybe they feel isolated. Maybe you got a friend or someone that you is close to you that they just need to know that Jesus is with them in the situation they're in. I encourage you to hit share and share this with the people in your life. Just take a moment and do that. We're in a series called Pictures. And Pictures is about the idea that we're inundated every day with pictures, images. And we all know pictures since a child. Before we learned to read, we learned how to look at pictures and identify things. In fact, we could point to something and we learned how to say it by the picture of it is, of what it was. And I think about how that there's pictures that are being developed in all of our lives every day, over a lifetime. In fact, if I said to you right now, picture a cow, right? Just a big cow, and picture that. And so in your mind, maybe you've got in your mind a black cow or a spotted cow or a brown cow. I think there's even yellow cows. Maybe it's a purple cow. I don't know what color the cow is, but you got a cow in your mind that you're picturing. And what I could do is I could develop that for you. So picture a brown cow, not a deep dark brown, but kind of a light brown cow. And picture it in a field, a field of grass, green grass, with a split rail fence around it. With a split rail fence, there's a farmer. He's got bib overalls on, and he's got a collie dog with him. And they're standing there, and there's the cow. You got this picture in your mind. We just developed the picture of what it looks like, and now we're kind of on the same page. Maybe some details that we've not drilled down on, but for the most part, we have this picture that's been developed. Well, in your life, right, there's pictures that are being developed. Some of those create chaos. Some are going to create comfort. I think what can happen is we can listen to all kinds of voices and view all kinds of pictures. And what happens is we develop a chaotic kind of life, a life that's built on chaos when we're really desiring comfort. And Jesus wants you to have comfort in your life, comfort that's from him. Not comfort by this world standards, but comfort. And it's available to you. And so today we're going to spend some time. I encourage you, if you have a Bible or mobile device, if you'll go to John, we'll be in John chapter 20 and then John chapter 10 as well. As you find that your place in those passages, would say this, that there is a connect card that you can, a link there that you can go and complete that. I encourage you to do that. We just want to know. I'm here this morning with an empty room. There's a few people here that's helping to do the technology. I appreciate all they do. Appreciate our worship team, leads us into worship, and these guys that are helping with the technology. But for the most part, it's empty seats. It's not like on any given Sunday that you're here and I look out and there's your smiling face. And so one of the ways that we can stay connected is that connect card. So I encourage you to fill that out. And if you're new, make sure you fill it out and put your information, like your address. And if you're new, make sure you notate that on the card. We want to send you a free Elevation t-shirt. We'll mail it to you to make sure you get it. And then also, just would point your attention, there's a link. It's available in the comments. Or you can go to elevationindy.com, click on the Give Online tab to give. You can also text to give. They'll have the number for you. Encourage you and appreciate. We'll encourage you to give. I appreciate those that are giving and keeping the church strong during these times. We so much appreciate that. And I'm going to jump into John chapter 20. We'll read in verse 19. We left last Sunday. I love Easter. I love the power of the resurrection story and what it does for us. Everything we know as believers, as Jesus followers, is built on the resurrection. And I will say this, that this Sunday, what we want to do is just pick up right where we left off. Last week, we talked about pictures of the resurrection. John chapter 20, verse 19, it says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.'" I want to stop just for a moment there and just say this, that there's important details John gives us. The first day of the week, it's the same day that Jesus is crucified. It's not first day of the week, Monday like we would think. It's not some other day. It's Sunday. It's the same day Jesus has been, he's been crucified and now he's resurrected. It's on that day. And it says this, that they are shut right? The doors are shut. Some of your Bible versions will say closed. Some will say locked. The Greek word there is kaleo. And that word, you could use it for shut. You can use it for closed. But locked is a really good word for it, because what the writer's wanting us to know here is that that door is fastened shut. And they're behind it because of the fear they have, right? Fear of the Jews. The disciples, they've done this. They have went all in for Jesus. They've left what their career, their vocations were. They've traded the lifestyle they had to follow Jesus. They've left everything. They forsook all to follow him. They're all in. That's what disciples are. And now they've seen Jesus crucified. They're worried that they're next, and they are fearful. And we get that from this passage. But I think the writer here, John, is wanting us to also to understand this, because in Luke chapter 24, the Emmaus Road account is given. I encourage you, if you haven't read it or if you haven't read it in a while, to read Luke 24 this week. But in verse 31, after they've been walking with Jesus and they didn't know it, it says, "Then their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight." You see, I think John is wanting us to get this idea that Jesus is resurrected and there's supernatural activity happen, that he's passing through walls, he's getting behind locked doors. And I think the encouragement for all of us this morning is this: no matter what the barrier, the obstacle, the obstruction is, Jesus can go beyond that to get to where you are and what your need is. Don't ever think that because this has happened, Jesus is now separate and he can't get to you. He can get to where you're at. There's no barrier that can keep him away. And I think that's an encouragement for all of us. And I think that this picture looks a little bit like us today, right? We're behind closed doors. We're separated. We don't know what's coming, like the disciples, what's going to happen. And there's a lot of talk and a lot of pictures and images that we're getting. But where are we going and what's coming? And in this time of somewhat chaos, we're looking for the comfort that only God can give. And here's the cool thing. Jesus was with them. They're walking on the road to Emmaus. They didn't know it. Here he is showing up behind the closed doors. And he's saying this: "Peace be with you." Right? I want the completeness, shalom, peace to be with you. How's that happen? Because he's with us. Because he was with them. And I want to talk for a few moments this morning about a picture of Jesus with you. Jesus with us. Jesus with me. Pictures of Jesus with me. Matthew 28 and 20 says this. Says, "I am with you always." Right? I'm never going to leave you. Never going to forsake you. When you begin a relationship with Jesus, he says this: "I'm not going to leave you. I'm with you. Always." No matter if it's highs or if it's lows, no matter if it's good or if it's bad, he's with us. He is with you. I'm going to tell you, he's not going to take a vacation. He's not going away. He's with you. Coronavirus, COVID-19, quarantine, lockdown, Jesus is with you. Jesus is with me. Just say it out loud. Just say it out loud. Jesus is with me. And if we don't get it, here's what he says. If we don't get what always is, Jesus says, "I'm with you always." He goes on to say this: "Even to the end." If you don't know what always means, he's saying, "I'm with you even to the end. I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere. I'm with you. If it gets hard, I'm there." Remember the story of the footprints in the sand? If you've ever read it, you know, the guy looks back over his life and there's two rows of footprints. And the gentleman is like, "Jesus," he's talking to Jesus, "I'm looking back over my life and thank you for being with me, but there's some places when I was in the lowest points, just one set of footprints." You know it. Most of you know it. Right? And Jesus says to him, "What was in those moments that I picked you up and carried you?" Jesus isn't leaving. Jesus isn't going anywhere. Years ago, Kim and I used to sing this song. It said, "Jesus is with me when the storm clouds gather. He's standing by my side when the thunder begins to roll. He holds my hand when I begin to tremble, when the winds of this world are blowing strong." Jesus is with me. Jesus is with you. Get that picture. Get away from the picture of Jesus is not with you. That's the wrong picture. Jesus is with you. John chapter 10, we're going to read a few verses here. In John chapter 10, I'll pick it up in verse number 25. The Word of God says, "Jesus answered them, and he said this, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Verse 26, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. What a beautiful picture of the shepherd that Jesus is, the great shepherd that he is, the loving, beautiful shepherd that Jesus is. And he gives us some details, I think, that are important this morning to understanding how that he is with us, that he's not leaving us, how that works in our life. I think the first thing that I see is this idea that he's saying this, that if you don't believe, it's because you're not of my sheep. And believing and putting faith and putting trust and confidence in me is the indicator of relationship. And I want to give you for a few moments, talk about this, a picture of confidence in Jesus. A picture of confidence in Jesus. A picture of trust, of faith, of belief in him. How do I know that he's with me? It's because I made the decision to put my faith in him, to trust in him. I think about how David said in Psalms 23, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. And we can read that very calm, and there's nothing wrong with that, right? We could say it very quietly, the Lord is my shepherd. That's okay. But I just want you to know this. I believe this, that David was making a declaration. He was saying this as a confident utterance of the faith that was in him. The Lord is my shepherd. He's making a declaration. And I think you got to get the picture right of who he is, right? Once I understand that he is creator of heaven and earth, that he is the one that holds this universe in his hands, that he's the one that spoke it into existence, that he is creator God. And I think if you think about how that, you know, what we gather from science and what they understand and tell us is that our galaxy contains more than 100 billion stars. Wow, that's a lot. That's hard for me to fathom, 100 billion, right? And our sun, so check this out, our galaxy, the galaxy we're in, 100 billion stars, our sun is 150 trillion miles from the center of our galaxy. And our galaxy, again, I'm talking about our galaxy, is one of a small cluster of 19 galaxies, the nearest of which in those, right, to us, is 30 million light years from us. That means if you're traveling 186,000 miles per second, it's going to take you 30 million years to get there. You see the vastness of this? But that's not all, right? There are more than a billion galaxies. They estimate that the number of stars in these galaxies is close to 100 quintillion. I don't even know what a quintillion is. I know this, it's got to be have a long string of zeros. And the candle power of those galaxies is equal to that of 400 million suns. And check this out. I describe that to you so you can get a picture that the God that is shepherding us, the Jesus that we're invited into relationship with, is the creator of all that, is the sustainer and the maintainer of all of that. And we call him Lord. He's the one that we entrust our care to. Do you realize that when David said, the Lord is my shepherd, he wasn't just making some trite comment, some trivial kind of expression. What he was saying is, in confidence, I have a shepherd that I can put my care on him and my trust on him and know that I'm in safe hands, that my future is secure in him. We've got to have a right picture of who he is, right? And that's the faith, that's the confidence that we put in him. And I want you to know this, that in your life, what God has done for you is greater than the record of sin and shame against you. What God has done for you is greater than the record of sin and shame that stands against you. I want you to know that this morning that God has done so much for us, we can put our faith in him. And faith should never be this thing that, okay, I'll believe if I see this, or maybe I'll believe, or if things get tough, I'm going to turn to God, or because things are tough, I'm turning to God. No, wait a minute. You need to make faith the starting point, not your last resort. Make faith the place that you start with, the beginning place, the starting block, not the last resort. Put your faith, your confidence in him now. If you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, if you haven't entered into a relationship with him, I encourage you, make that step. It's not difficult. It's not hard. He's running to you. His arms are outstretched. All you've got to do is make the decision to say, yes, that's what I want in my life. It's having confidence and trust. And for some of you this morning, you're moving through situations in your life. Maybe it has to do with work or with sickness or with somebody you care about being sick or just the isolation that we're in right now or the change of life or other stresses or worries, and you may feel alone. Listen, put your confidence in Jesus. Put your confidence in him. You can. And I think that, you know, when you get this picture David gives us, the Lord is my shepherd, as him as a shepherd, here's what happened in biblical times, right? The shepherd, David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He goes on to talk about how that we're in green pastures, right? He leadeth me beside still waters. The idea is that sheep have to drink, they have to eat, and the shepherd is going to lead them. He's going to care for them. In fact, I read one place where the shepherd many times will have to take them to get water into caverns, dark places. And sometimes he would take and lay down planks so that the sheep could walk on so they could have more sure footing. And can you imagine that these sheep trust the shepherd so much that when he leads them into a dark place, they go? That when he leads them into a place where they're walking on planks and it seems a little uneven, a little odd, but they trust him to go to that place because of the relationship that has been forged and that they have confidence in him that he's going to lead them in a right place. They've got confidence. You can put your faith, your trust, your confidence in Jesus. Andre Crouch wrote the song. We sung it when I was a kid. Maybe nobody on here knows it. Maybe a couple of you, but just he sung the song, said, I've got confidence. God is going to see me through. No matter what the case may be, I know he's going to fix it for me. And then it goes on to say, talks about Job. It says, old Job was sick so long till the flesh just fell from his bones. His wife, his cattle, his children, everything he had was gone. But old Job in his despair, he knew that God still cared. Sleepless days and sleepless nights. Job said, honey, that's all right, because I've got confidence. God is going to see me through. Putting your confidence in him, knowing that you can trust him. And another picture that I draw out of here that I see in this passage, right? A picture of having confidence in Jesus, but also a picture of having communication from Jesus. Right? It says this, that my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. Now, number one, you need to understand this, that Jesus is speaking. We're not worshiping, we're not serving, we're not following a God that doesn't speak to us. Jesus is speaking. And in your moments of wondering what's going on and what's going to happen and trying pictures that are developing, let his voice speaking into your life develop the pictures that you see of your life. And to hear, here's what we know, to hear, sometimes you got to lean in. Sometimes you got to move the obstructions, right? Something's in the way, you got to get around it. You also got to be focused to hear. We know when we're looking at something, we have to be focused to see. But I want to tell you, sometimes you got to focus your hearing. You got to be engaging in the hearing process. Got to be some active listening. You can hear stuff, but not get it and not be listening. And I'm saying this, that I've got to be actively engaged in the listening process. When David talks about in Psalms 23 that he leads me beside still waters, sheep drink, we drink, right? It's the idea of taking something in. It's refreshing, it's nourishing to us. Spiritually, I believe this, it means to accept and believe that as we're refreshed spiritually, we're accepting and believing something and from God. And here's what we understand about sheep. They get their water from three main sources. And they've got to have water to live. All living things do. And so sheep gets its water from three main sources. The first place is dew, the dew on the grass. By habit, sheep rise early in the morning before sunrise. And they go out and in the morning. Here's what they get 80% of the hydration they need off of the grass they eat. Isn't that amazing? And so because they get up early in the morning, they get to do, and it's important, right? There's an importance on them getting out there and getting it, because if not, if it's noon and they go out, well, the sun's already burned it away. It's all gone. I think in Lamentations 3:23, when Jeremiah writes and says, as he's declaring the word of the Lord, he says this, that the mercies of the Lord are new every day. That the mercies that God brings are new every day. That we can count on this idea that God's bringing new mercy. You may have had a bad day yesterday, you may have had a bad week, but you can know this, that this morning, that tomorrow morning, there's new mercy for you. Jesus did this practice of, in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, we see it. It says, in rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus departed and went to a desolate place, and there he prayed. He had this habit of getting up early, right? The dew in the morning, rising early. Psalms 143, verse 8 said, let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for I trust in you. Lamentations 2:19, Jeremiah wrote, and he said, arise, cry in the night before the watches begin. Pour out your heart like water before the presence of the Lord. Lift up your hands for your children. What is it? It's this idea of getting up early and spending time alone with God. Like the sheep, they get 80% of their hydration. You're going to get this boost of hydration when you spend time with him. And I get it. It looks different for all of us. And maybe you're a morning person. It's easy for you. Maybe you're not, and it's difficult. I'm just saying this. When you set aside that time, when nothing else is going on, before the world or the news or the media or you know, your best friend or your worst friend or your whatever, before they have time to develop pictures in your life, you've spent time with him, hearing him speak. And like those sheep, you got to get up and get it early, because if not, something else is going to get your day. And so there's the dew. They get water from the dew. Second source they get it from is still water. Deep wells. I kind of look at this as the word of God, right? The solid foundation. And sheep, they have to move to places that number one, that's been tested by the shepherd, because they'll drink, when they're thirsty, they'll drink any kind of water. It could be polluted. It could be full of parasites. It could be running, and they have a problem drinking running water. And so the shepherd's going to lead them to a cavern or to a place where there's still water that he knows it's good water. Sometimes he'll even dig out from a stream or a brook. He'll do a little channel, and he'll let the water come over and pool up so that they and make a pool of still water so they can drink it. And that's the word of God for you and I. You've got to spend time in God's word. Read God's word. Know God's word. Memorize. Let it be written on the tables of your heart. That's what David said. Thy word have I written, have you written on my heart so I might not sin against you. It's the lamp. It's the light. So spend time in God's word. It's the sure foundation. It's settled. It's not changing. God's word. And then thirdly, they drink from bubbling springs, from rippling water. And this is a place that sometimes they need to drink, they have to drink, but it's not always the best, because what sheep will do is they'll stick their head in and they'll let the water up their nose and they'll drown. I know. I think it's a good expression of who we are. I was driving in here this morning early. I just show you how we're like this sometimes. I'm driving in early and it's kind of cold, and I turn the heat on and it's blowing, and I'm like, what is this Arctic blast that's going on? Why is it so cold? It's spring in Indiana. And then I realized the last time I was in the car, I had the air conditioning on because the sun was on, and I'm blowing cold air out on me the whole time, right? We are not smart sometimes. And these sheep, they need a shepherd that's going to lead them. But sometimes they're going to drink out of bubbling springs. I kind of look at that as other people, other voices in our life that help them develop the pictures. And God will bring people in your life to speak into your life. But I also need to have a filter on this and not let every voice speak into my life. Every voice that speaks into your life is not the one that God has brought. And so I got to have a filter to check those voices that I'm listening to. Are they leading me closer to God, or are they pulling me away? Are they bringing a discouraging word when I'm trying to have faith? Are they encouraging my walk? And I will say this, that you can allow somebody toxic in your life, somebody that brings poison in your life, and it can be very ugly for your future. And so I encourage you, and you know, one of the things we do here at Elevation, typically we have life groups, and And life groups are a part of, it's one of the things we do as a church. We put a lot of effort in it, and here we are in a different time, and so we're doing something a little different, or maybe a lot different, called groups. And I encourage you to take advantage. You can find the link on our Facebook page, or you can go to elevationindy.com. I think it's /groups, and you can find the listing of groups. We got several. There's many of them out there. And these are going to be Zoom groups, so it's going to be a little different dynamic, but it's just a way for you to be connected and a way for you to allow and invite some voices in your life that are going to bring faith and hope and truth. And I encourage you, this is just an opportunity for you, right? Because sometimes we need that bubbling spring, and that's what's available. And so here's the deal. God is communicating with you. You got to be in a place that you're listening, and you're doing it in such a way that it's going to bring refreshment and nourishment to you. That's going to hydrate you. The third picture I want to lift off of these pages this morning out of this text is it's from this word follow, because he says this: my sheep hear my voice, I know them, right? Because they believe, they put their confidence. He says, and they follow me. And they follow. And I think sometimes the word follow, it's connected with Christianity. People talk about being Jesus followers. I'm a disciple, so I'm following Jesus. We use that terminology. We sing about it. We preach. We teach. I saw bumper stickers. You know, we've just done it when it comes to follow. But I think sometimes we get this way of following that's kind of distant. I'm going to tell you right now that if you're a typical American Jesus follower and your following is that you get everything on Sunday morning when you gather with people, that's where you do your community, that's where you get encouraged, that's where you do your worship and your prayer and your word time, that your following is probably diminished a lot during this time unless you've dug in and said, you know what, I've got to increase my followership in Christ. And so I want to describe following as being more like this, the idea of being one, a greater connection than just some kind of casual following. Picture this. You have someone in your life that is hurt, they're wounded, it looks bad, it's serious, you know they need some kind of medical help, and it's not something you can get, and it could be fatal. And so you can't find your phone. You get your car, you don't know where the hospital or a medical place is, and you see a police officer, you tell them, and they say this: follow me, I'm going to get you to the hospital. I'm going to give you an escort to the hospital. Follow me. Now, you don't know where the hospital's at. You don't have the address. You don't have Siri to help you. You don't have a map. How are you going to follow that police officer? It's a life or death situation. It's urgent. It's important. You're not gonna follow behind him and okay, look at that. You're not gonna be lollygagging around. You're not gonna be just doing a Sunday afternoon drive. You're gonna be following him intently. You're gonna be in pursuit of this person so close that you are almost one with them. That if they turn right, you're gonna turn right. If the police officer turns left, you're going to turn left. If they speed up, you're speeding up. If they slow down, you're going to slow down. If the light is about to change color and they run through it, you're going to run through it too. You're going to be right with them. It's going to be like you're one. Whatever they do, you're going to do. That is the relationship Jesus invites us to. And I want to use this word, a picture of coalescing with Jesus, becoming one. To coalesce means when one becomes part of another, that we're one in Christ, we're becoming one with him. Matthew 11:29 says this, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you. Agricultural term, it's the idea of yoking two animals together. We use two oxen. They put them together, and together they're going to work together. It's not like one is over here doing its own thing and this one's doing its. It's not like this one just connects when it wants to, but when you're yoked together, you're together. That harness is on both of you. And what Jesus invites us into, this following him, this relationship of being a follower of him, is the idea that we're going to be yoked together with him, coalesce with him, one with him. That wherever he leads, we're going to follow. That you won't be able to separate us because we're together. Jesus is with me. Get that picture. He's with me. He's with me because I have confidence in him. I believe who he is. He's with me because I'm listening and hearing his voice. And he's with me because I have coalesced with him. I'm one with him in following him. Proverbs 27:23 said, "The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him." Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 12, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Understand this morning that Jesus invites us into a relationship where we are following him, not from a distance, not casually, but we're engaged in a relationship where we are one with him. That's what he desires. I love what Michael W. Smith wrote this. I love the way he penned these words. He said, "Real joy comes when we get the right desire met. The desire for God himself, for a life led by the Spirit, fulfilling not our material desires, but our deepest need, which is to be in a close relationship with our Creator. That is the source of true blessing, the only source." You can spend your life trying to figure out, how do I get through life? You can worry and try to just deal with life on your own. Jesus invites you into a relationship where he's with you. He's not with you for a moment, not with you for a season, but that he's with you for eternity. But I do have to be in a position where I've coalesced, where I'm following him, passionately pursuing him, intently following him. And I think about a story, Rick Clendenin, mentor, in some level like a spiritual father to me in the Lord, he told me about his father and how that he went to work with his grandfather when he was a young man in the coal mines of eastern Kentucky. And the way they describe these coal mines is that they're these long tunnels, and you've probably seen them in movies, maybe you've actually seen one, back into the mountain, and they've supported it with big timbers. And years ago, men would go in, and they would shovel and pick coal and break it apart inside of the mountain with a little bit of light and very dusty conditions. And his dad, being a young man, went to work with his father in the mine that first day. And he said he was back there working, and all of a sudden, he heard some popping and cracking, and he started to run, dropped his shovel and started to run. His dad said, "Hey, son, you're okay. Come on. It's all right." He started working again and popping and cracking and thinking that, okay, this thing's going to fall in on me. He starts to run again. And I can't remember if it's 3 or 4 times, but the idea of just this thing's going to fall and I need to get out of here. And finally, in the final time, his dad looked at him and said, "Son, here's the way this works." He says, you got to ignore all those noises. Those noises they don't mean anything. The ones you're hearing, they don't mean anything. Don't let those interfere with what you're doing. Don't let those overwhelm you. Here's how you're going to know when to run. If you see me run, then you run. If I'm not running, don't run. But if you see me run, you need to run. If I ever run, run. And that's what Jesus says to us. He's with us. And if he moves, that's when we move. If he takes a right, that's when we need to take a right. Don't get caught up with all the noise and all the pictures in our world that would try to trouble you, or those that maybe your flesh would try to develop, or even the enemy of your soul would try to put before you. Put your trust and confidence in him and follow him. Listen to his voice. Gaze upon him. Fix your eyes on Jesus and allow him to lead you in the situations you're at in life. Here's what I want to do. I want to take a moment and just pray for you and pray with you and give you an opportunity to pray. I don't know what you're dealing with in life. I don't know what you're going through, but here's the confidence we have. When you invite Jesus into your life, he's with you. And maybe you've not prayed that prayer and invited him. Maybe you're here today and you're hearing this and you desire that, or maybe somehow in your life you've kind of drifted. Maybe as I'm talking about this, you would say, "You know, Pastor, I've been letting my faith in him be shaken a little bit. Or I've just not been in a place where I've been hearing him speak." And maybe you'd say, "I've just not been spending the time with him I need to." Or maybe you just have been following in cruise control, kind of lollygagging, kind of laying back. Here's what I want you to know. that can all change today. Let me pray. Father, thank you for your goodness, for your love for us. Lord, that you who are omniscient and omnipotent, God, you love us. And Lord, we can call you our shepherd. Lord, we can make that declaration like David, that the Lord is my shepherd. And God, we thank you, Lord, that we can put our trust in you. And God, we can't hear you speak and we can't follow you. And so, Lord, I pray for those that are just, they've got their head bowed right now. Lord, they're joining in prayer. Pray for them and lift them up to you right now. Lord, that they can know you in a closer way. They can hear your voice clearly. And Lord, maybe they feel isolated and alone. Maybe it's been a while since they've sensed or felt your presence. God, I pray today that you become real in their lives. Lord, for your presence to be manifested in their life. And I'm just going to speak to those. Maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you're here today and by way of technology, and you're hearing this and you don't have a relationship. I just encourage you today. It's just simple. It's just a prayer. You can say it with me. Father, I need you in my life. I want you in my life. I come to you. I turn from my past, from my doubt, from my disbelief, from my lack of faith, from my sin, and I turn to you. I'm repenting. I'm changing directions today. I invite you to be Lord of my life. I want to follow you. Where you lead, I will follow. If you pray that prayer and mean it from your heart, I believe this, God's going to start a relationship with you. It's going to be transformative.